Hello, welcome. You're listening to Feed, Play, Love, a bite-sized parenting podcast, a place you can find advice, understanding, and support as you care for your small humans. I'm Siobhan Hunt.
There's a certain joy that comes from watching your child have a healthy appetite. Equally, it's worrying and frustrating when they're fussy eaters. Dr. Jen Cohen from the University of New South Wales Medicine has been working in childhood nutrition for more than 15 years, specialising in paediatric oncology nutrition. She also helps parents manage when they have a fussy eater. She's here to help us with both prevention and management of fussy eaters. Hi, Jen, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. How do you define a fussy eater?
So we actually don't have any formal definition of fussy eating, but what we tend to say is that if your child is having less than 20 different foods and also tends to refuse whole food groups, then we call them fussy. And in most cases, kids like to refuse vegetables as a food group, but that's not always the case. It can be also some kids refuse sort of all meat and meat products. So it's those kind of two things together is what we would call a fussy eater.
And is there a particular age when children start to get fussy?
Yeah, so we generally say fussy eating will start around about 18 months of age, though in the case of my kids, I think it was like 10 months. So it starts at about 18 months of age and it peaks around the two and a half years and then slowly sort of improves up to about the age of five. And so we normally say by about the age of five, there's only about 10% of kids are still fussy at that age.
And if we kind of know that's the onset and we are watching our children suddenly become quite picky and fussy, are we able to implement strategies at that point before they've started completely refusing all vegetables or meat? Is it possible to actually put in strategies at that time that will stop them getting more fussy?
I think there's a couple of points to that. So I think, like we said before, fussy eating is a normal part of toddler development. I think that's really important for parents to remember. So up to 50% of kids will probably be fussy at some times. I always say that stat because that's what the research says, but I always think it's actually much higher than that. And if you speak to enough parents, all kids are fussy at some point. So I think it's important to remember that fussy eating is a normal part of toddler development. There is going to be a time, and probably could be long periods of time, where they don't want to eat the foods that they used to like when they were younger. And I think that's important to remember as a parent, because our aim is actually not to stop the fussy eating, because you can't necessarily stop that because that's part of their development. What we're trying to stop is that fussy eating continuing as they get older. So basically that fussy eating getting worse. Because what can happen is the fussy eating that we know, which is they're just refusing a few foods here and there, for time periods, can then turn into food aversions or food phobia. And that's the things that we're trying to avoid. It's not the fussy eating, it's the long-term consequences of fussy eating down the track. So that we can prevent.
Okay, so let's just say we have a child who is only eating white pasta.
Yes.
As I know, there are many yes. parents out there dealing with this right now.
Very true, yeah.
What are we meant to do in that scenario? Because I know when my daughter in particular was really fussy, we would just end up cooking for her and then cooking for us. So we had two meals yep. and it was so limited in terms of what we could make for her. You know, one night it's chicken nuggets. The next night it might be sausages. The next night we're back to chicken nuggets. You know, you yep. don't have, yep. especially if it's a white pasta, you're just looking at it going, oh, my God, I'm the worst parent ever. But how do you get around that? Because it's you don't want them to starve.
Yes, and it's very true. And what you're talking about with your daughter is really going to be the case for lots of families. And it might not be white pasta, it might be white rice or something or crackers, but it is the same thing. So I think there's two, as I like to say, fussy eating is not always that simple, but I think there's two things we need to look at. First, we need to look at is the obsession with the, you know, one or two types of foods and not eating much variety. Is that something that's a new thing or that's been going on a long time? So if your child has, you know, you started solids with them and they've always been fussy, like they, you know, in the early days, they never took a variety of foods. They've only ever taken white foods. Then in that group, we're actually looking at, is there something else going on? So if your child has been fussy from the age of 6 months, then it's likely that there's other reasons for their fussy eating above and beyond this normal fussy eating. So with those kids, we actually need to look at what's going on, because the reality is for those group of kids, there are other things that has to happen for them to get, to start enjoying food and wanting to eat food. And so the reality is the tips that I'm about to give now is not going to help with that group. So the group that start from fussy from 6 months for whatever reason, and we can talk about that more later, those group, this is not going to work for. But what I'm talking about is the group that, you know, ate solids well, took good textures, you know, loved their fruits and vegetables, like you said at the start, you know, the joy of watching them eat the food that you cooked, and then they hit sort of 12 to 18 months and they stop eating those foods and they start only wanting white food. So that's the group I'm talking about. And what we want to do in that case is one of the most important, or a few of the important things at this point in time, is to continue to provide those foods that they don't want to eat and can keep exposing them to those foods. But what your aim for is not to get them to eat those foods, it's that constant exposure about foods. And it might take, you know, 10 or 20, 30 or even 50 times for them to want to start eating those foods again, but you need to keep exposing them to those foods. So what we would then suggest at a mealtime is is a saying going around called, what you want to do is considered, not catered meals. So you don't want to just serve only foods that, you know, they're going to eat, because that's much easier for us after a stressful work day, but it's not teaching them good habits. So what you want to do is serve a combination of liked foods and new foods. So in your case, you would still serve, you know, the white pasta, or, you know, the chicken nugget that you know that they will like, but you also want to serve it alongside the foods that your family is eating. So it's about considering, you know, doing both foods that they like and also new foods that they're constantly exposed to it. But when you serve those new foods, what you don't want to do is make a big deal about it. It's not asking them to take a bite. It's not asking them to have, you know, just have a taste of it. It's more about exposure. So it's about keeping calm at meal times, having those foods there around the table, you as a parent or as a grandparent, as a carer, eating those foods, so they're modeling it, but not making a big deal about it. So it's about doing both. It's serving those foods that you know they'll eat alongside the foods that you want them to eventually like.
Now, I am fascinated with this idea of exposure, because I remember when my kids were small, I was told that by nutritionists, and I thought it was the biggest load of bull, because I'm like, oh my God, what a waste of food. And why would that make a difference? And of course, the only vegetable I insisted on always giving my kids was broccoli.
Yep.
And they ended up eating it. So I am hand up saying I was a fool and I really should have listened to the experts. But what's the science behind simply exposing them to food? You know, it seems so simple, but why does it even work?
So the reality with fussy eating is a lot that we still don't know, but you've always got to think of food as there's so 50% of our fussy eating actually is part of our genes. So, you know, there is what they call almost like a survival mode with food. So if you think about back in the caveman days, when, you know, they didn't know what food was, that, you know, food that was bitter often meant it was poisonous, and that if they ate it, they would get sick and not survive. So we think there's an evolutionary part to eating and how we perceive flavors and foods, and that we're naturally scared of those bitter and like sour kind of foods because it meant poison. So those of us who are more sensitive to those bitter flavors, we would have eaten the food, we would have spat it out, and we would have survived and passed that gene on. Whereas for those of us probably like me who don't taste the bitterness and we just eat it and we're like, oh, this is so good, and then we ate the poison and die, we're not going to pass the gene on. So there is very much an evolutionary part. It's almost like it's ingrained in our genes to be fearful of foods, especially those bitter and sour foods. And it sounds weird. It's like, how has caveman days going to influence what my kid does now? But it's all part of our genetics. And that is part of it, being fearful of that bitter food, a bit scared of it, and also that taste of it. So what we're doing is we're trying to fight those caveman genes, which is to, you know, show someone that it's, you know, it's a safe food, and that's why, you know, you eating it as a, you know, as a parent or a carer is so important, because you're actually trying to override those genes of that naturally being fearful of something new. And you know, the reality is toddlers are fearful of everything new. And so it's not just about food. It's just that we place more emphasis on food as a parent, because you know, if a child is fearful of a dog, it's fine. But if they're fearful of food, then they don't eat, and you know, it's a scary thing. So what we're doing is trying to make food safe and happy and calm and not to be afraid of it. And so that's when exposure is important, because they want to see you eat it. They want to see it on their plate. But what we don't want to do is make them more fearful. And that's where they just have one more bite, or trying to force them, or make them sit there all night, which we've all did, you know, when we were younger. We all have those memories. I have it now. Yes. So we want to make sure that food is fun and happy, but not fearful. And that's where that exposure comes in, is taking away that fear. And, you know, we say it can take up to 10 or 15 times, but you know what, in some cases it can be even longer. And as I said, these are for the kids who, you know, started well with their eating and then sort of, you know, got fussier over time. But the kids who have been fussy from younger, that's a whole nother group that, you know, this is never going to work for, because we need to look at there are other reasons for their fussy eating.
So let's say someone's listening to this and they're like, oh, actually, now that you mention it, they were fussy from the very start.
Yeah.
What do they do? How do you assess that situation, and where do you go for help?
Yeah, well, I think this is where it gets hard, because there's lots of different reasons for fussy eating, and people don't talk about that. So there could be those who are called super tasters. So they're the ones who really hate the flavor of bitter foods, to the point that it's really it makes them feel sick. Generally, that's very genetic. So there might be one parent or one, you know, parent in the family who just has never eaten vegetables. You know, you get the story from their mum going, oh, they never ate vegetables and they still don't eat it. That could be a genetic thing. So we've got the super tasters. We've got those kids who have got sensory processing disorder, or are quite sensory. So they're the kids who don't like playing in dirt, don't like the feel of tags from their clothes. They don't like loud sounds. There's lots of those peripheral things that are going on, but generally it also then comes down to food as well. So they might not like the texture of food, or the feel of it is quite sort of scary to them. So that's another group. And then another reason for fussy eating could be that kids haven't learned to chew and swallow properly, because they haven't been exposed to sort of more solid textures. So for the kids, so for example, for if you've got a child who, you know, won't get off puree foods, and they vomit and gag, and they're just not chewing foods, then what you would probably see is a pediatric speech pathologist who specializes in feeding. If they had sensory issues, you'd probably see a pediatric occupational therapist, because they deal with lots of sensory issues. And then if it's the super tasters, they're the hardest group, I hate to say, but you could also then talk to, say, a pediatric dietitian, again, who specializes in feeding, to having a look at what are the reasons for fussy eating. So it's definitely to going to one of those specialists, and going to one of those specialists as early as possible, because the reality is, if they're fussy at 9 or 10 months, we've got to look at what's going on, because they're probably not going to grow out of it.
Jen, thank you so much for your time today. It's so interesting.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Dr. Jen Cohen from the University of New South Wales School of Medicine, and I'll put links to where you can find more information about Jen in the notes of this episode.
Feed, Play, Love is a Babyology podcast produced and presented by me, Siobhan Hunt. I'd love to hear from you, so if you'd like to get in touch, email me at feedplaylove@theparentbrand.com.au. See you next time.